As the hours passed, the foot traffic thinned and the neighbors withdrew. I decided that if Miss Callie stayed at home, she would be a very difficult target. There were houses next door and across the street. There were no hills or towers or vacant lots within sight. I didn't mention this, but I'm sure Sam and Esau were having the same thoughts. When she was ready for bed, I said my good nights and drove back to the jail. It was crawling with deputies and had the carnival-like atmosphere that only a good murder could bring. I couldn't help but flash back 9 years to the night Danny Padgett was arrested and hauled in with blood on his shirt. Only two of the jurors had not been found. Both had moved, and Sheriff McNatt was trying to track them down. He asked about Miss Callie, and I said she was safe. I did not tell him Sam was home. He closed the door to his office and said he had a favor to ask.
Tomorrow, can you go talk to Lucien Wilbanks?
Why me?
Well, I could, but personally, I can't stand the bastard, and he feels the same way about me.
Everybody hates Lucien, I said.
Except
Harry Rex?
Harry Rex. What if you and Harry Rex go talk to Lucien? See if he will act as go-between to the Padgetts. I mean, at some point, I gotta talk to Danny, right?
I guess. You're the sheriff.
Just have a chat with Lucien Wilbanks, that's all. Feel him out. If it goes well, then maybe I'll talk to him. It's different if the sheriff goes barging in at first.
I'd rather be lashed with a bullwhip, I said, and I wasn't joking.
But you'll do it?
I'll sleep on it. Harry Rex wasn't too thrilled with the idea either. Why should both of us get involved? We kicked it around over an early breakfast at the coffee shop, an unusual meal for us, but then we didn't want to miss the first tidal wave of downtown gossip. Not surprisingly, the place was packed with anxious experts who were repeating all sorts of details and theories about the Ferguson murder. We listened more than we talked and left around 8:30. Two doors down from the coffee shop was the Wilbanks building. As we walked by, I said, "Let's do it." Pre-Lucien, the Wilbanks family had been a cornerstone of Clanton society, commerce, and law. In the golden years of the last century, they owned land and banks, and all of the men in the family had studied law, some at real Ivy League schools. But they had been in decline for many years. Lucien was the last male Wilbanks of any consequence, and there was an excellent chance he was about to be disbarred. Ethel Twitty, the longtime secretary, greeted us rudely, almost sneering at Harry Rex, who mumbled to me under his breath,
"Meanest bitch in town."
I think she heard him. It was obvious they had been catfighting for many years. Her boss was in. What did we want?
"We want to see Lucien," Harry Rex said. "Why else would we be here?"
She rang him up as we waited.
"I don't have all day,"
Harry Rex snapped at her at one point.
"Go ahead," she said,
more to get rid of us than anything else.
We climbed the steps.
Lucien's office was huge, at least 30 feet wide and long, with 10-foot ceilings and a row of French doors overlooking the square. It was on the north side, directly across from the Times, with the courthouse in between. Thankfully, I couldn't see Lucien's balcony from my porch. He greeted us indifferently, as if we had interrupted a long, serious meditation. Though it was early, his cluttered desk gave the impression of a man who had worked all night. He had long, grayish hair that ran down his neck, and an unfashionable goatee, and the tired red eyes of a serious drinker.
"What's the occasion?" he asked very slowly.
We glared at each other, both conveying as much contempt as possible.
"Had a murder yesterday, Lucien," Harry Rex said. "Lenny Ferguson, that cripple boy on the jury?" "I'm assuming this is off the record," he said in my direction.
"It is," I said, "completely. Sheriff McNatt asked me to stop by and say hello. I invited Harry Rex."
"So we're just socializing?"
"Maybe. Just having a little gossip about the murder," I said.
"I got the details," he said.
"Have you talked to Danny Padgett lately?"
Harry Rex asked.
"Not since he was paroled."
"Is he in the county?"
"He's in the state. I'm not sure exactly where."
If he crosses the state line without permission, he violates the conditions of his parole.
Why couldn't they parole him to, say, Wyoming? It seemed odd that he would be required to stay close to where he committed his crimes. Get rid of him.
Sheriff McNett would like to talk to him, I said.
Oh, does he? Why should that concern you and me? Tell the sheriff to go talk to him.
It's not that simple, Lucian, and you know it,
Harry Rex said.
Does the sheriff have any proof against my client? Any evidence? Ever hear of probable cause, Harry Rex? You can't just round up the usual suspects, you know. Takes a little more than that.
There was a direct threat against the jurors, I said.
9 years ago.
It was still a threat, and we all remember it. Now, 2 weeks after he's paroled, one of his jurors is dead.
That's not enough, fellas. Show me more, and I might consult with my client. Right now, there's nothing but naked speculation. Plenty of it. But this town's always good for a flood of gossip.
You don't know where he is, do you, Lucian?
Harry Rex said.
I assume he's on the island with the rest of them.
He used the word them as if they were a bunch of rats.
What happens if another juror gets shot?
Harry Rex pressed on. Lucian dropped a legal pad on his desk and rested there on his elbows.
What am I supposed to do, Harry Rex? Call a boy up, say, hey, Danny, I'm sure you're not killing your jurors, but if by chance you are, then, hey, be a good boy and stop it. You think he'll listen to me? This wouldn't have happened if the idiot had followed my advice. I insisted that he not take the stand in his own defense. He's an idiot, okay, Harry Rex? You're a lawyer. God knows you've had idiot clients. You can't do a damn thing to control them.
What happens if another juror gets shot?
Harry Rex repeated.
Then I guess another juror will die.
I jumped to my feet and headed for the door. You're a sick bastard, I said.
Not a word of this in print,
he snarled behind me. Go to hell, I yelled as I slammed the door.